Hi there. You're listening to the Bethel Church Kingston podcast. My name's Dan. What does it mean to be strong in the Lord? This week, Pastor Daniel Critchlow opens us up with his new sermon series titled The Fight of Faith. We'll be diving into Ephesians 6:10 and what it means to be strong in the Lord. We invite you to join us.
If you're here today at Bethel and you call yourself a Christian, then my call to you for this first Sunday of the year is not to try and pump you up with willpower. It's not to kind of impart some kind of good luck charm on you. But my call to you for this coming year, and actually it's going to be the beginning of a new sermon series, is to be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. And we've been singing a few songs about that. That's taken from Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. And hopefully we can see that verse on the screen. Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. So do we want to be strong in the Lord this coming year? As I said, it's not just the beginning of the sermon for today, but also it's the beginning of a sermon series, which I'm calling The Fight of Faith, which is looking over 12 weeks. We're going to have a few kind of gaps in between that, but for 12 weeks, we're going to be looking at this idea of the fight of faith. And we see that very clearly in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 20. And basically over the 12-week series, we're going to be looking at three things. We're going to be looking at preparation for the fight, which we're going to start today, which is verses 10 to 13, which can be summarized, be strong in the Lord. And then we're going to be looking at provisions for the fight, the armor of God. And then we're going to be looking at prayers for this fight, praying in the Spirit, verses 19 to 20. So that's kind of like a plan for where we're going for the next 12 weeks. But before I get into today's sermon, I'll pray for us. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for today. I do thank you for our brothers and sisters who are here, those who aren't back yet, or who are maybe away still, or maybe sick, maybe watching online. Lord, we thank you that we can be a family of faith here. Thank you that we can be brothers and sisters. And thank you, Lord, that you have called us in this new year to fight the fight of faith. And maybe that's not something that we have particularly thought about. But Lord, I just really pray that you'll teach us now through your word and through the power of the Holy Spirit to be ready for this fight which is ahead of us. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, some of you might be thinking, all of this sounds a little bit over the top. 12 weeks, talking about 10 verses, isn't that kind of a little intense? And this idea of the fight of faith, maybe you're thinking that's not exactly the idea that you want to start the new year with. Maybe you're thinking, I want to start with peace. I want to start with this idea of fighting. And if I was to ask you, you know, what are you expecting? What are your hopes for this new year? I don't think probably any of you would say that you were hoping or expecting a fight or a war. Maybe that's probably very low down on your list. And in all probability, of course, here in Canada, it's unlikely, God willing, that we're going to have any fights or wars in the next year, at least here on Canadian soil. But I want to suggest that if you're a Christian here today, then actually the Bible is very clear that in this coming year that we are in for a fight. We are in for a war. And I'm not talking about a physical fight with a visible enemy. I'm not talking about some kind of medieval crusade, you know, we're going to go and fight for Christ or anything like that. But I'm talking about a spiritual fight with unseen and powerful enemies. And we're told about that in verse 12 of Ephesians chapter 6. It says this, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. So it's not physical people that we're fighting against, like in a real war, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. And we'll unpack that verse in a few weeks' time. We're not going to look at that in detail now. But I do want to suggest at the beginning of this year that as Christians, we do have an enemy and that we're called to fight against forces of darkness in our world and in our sphere. And 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12, which is where I've got the title for this series, we're told to fight the good fight of faith. Fight the good fight of faith. And it's a good fight. It's for a king, a good king, and it's for his kingdom. And as I said, it's not a fight against people, against flesh and blood, but it's for the king and against the spiritual forces of darkness. And the reason why I want us to focus on these things at the beginning of this new year is to highlight that if we're not only to survive this new year, but thrive in this new year, we need to be aware of the enemy, but also be prepared for the fight which is ahead of us. If you knew that in the next 12 months, there was going to be a physical war here in Canada, you would all be extremely interested in knowing what's going to happen. You'd all be extremely interested in preparing properly, in being provided properly, in praying properly. If you knew there was going to be a physical war here in Canada in the next 12 months, you would not think that 12 sermons or lectures of 30 minutes was too much or too detailed. You'd want all the information that you could gather. And what I'm suggesting is that the fight that we are being called to as Christians is actually, in the great scheme of things, even grander and of greater importance than a physical battle which could happen. And that the preparation and the provisions and the prayers which we'll learn about over the coming 12 weeks will help us prepare for those battles. So what I'm suggesting is, and I know this is a step of faith, as we'll go on to see a little bit later, I'm suggesting that we take this fight of faith even more seriously than if an invading army came into Canada. So as I said, today we're just going to start at the very beginning of this. We're going to be looking at Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Just going to be an introduction. We're not going to go into too much depth today. But Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, the first half of it, we're just going to look at half of it today. We'll look at the second half next week. It says, finally, be strong in the Lord. Finally, be strong in the Lord. And I've split that up into just 2 points, which will be the 2 points of the sermon. Finally, and be strong in the Lord. So hopefully easy enough if you're making notes. Now, let's start with this finally. Obviously, when we see the word finally, it suggests that something has been happening before that. It suggests that something has been talked about before that. And indeed, we are coming in Ephesians 6 at the end of the book. So Ephesians as a letter is 6 chapters long, and we're looking at the very final chapter. So he's saying finally, because lots more has happened beforehand. And we're not going to look into in detail at what has happened beforehand, because that would be a 3-year sermon series, not just a 12-week sermon series. But if we want to understand the context of what we're learning about today, it is important that we know roughly what has happened beforehand. We can understand roughly what has happened beforehand by looking at verses 1 and 2, the very opening verses of the letter in which Paul explains what is to happen. So Ephesians chapter 1, verses 1 and 2 says, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and are faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So from this verse, we can understand that this book of Ephesians that we're studying has been written by a man called Paul. He wrote quite a lot of the New Testament. He's a man who used to persecute Christians. He was a religious Jew, and he was so fervent in his religiosity and in his hatred for Christians that he used to go out and persecute them and was even responsible for putting some of them to death. And then he had an incredible, amazing conversion experience. Many of you know about that, on the road to Damascus, where he saw the risen Christ. He was blinded by a light and he fell off his horse and he submitted his life to the Lord Jesus Christ. And his life was completely turned around. He even got a new name. He used to be called Saul, became Paul. And as part of his new life, he wanted to tell people about Jesus Christ. And so he went on these incredible missionary journeys. And one of those journeys was through Asia Minor. And one of the places that he went to was this place called Ephesus. And he founded a church there. He worked amongst them for about 2 years. And then he is now, many years later, about 20 years later, writing to them while he's in prison. He's at the end of his life when he writes this. It's the year about 62 AD. And he's giving them instructions and giving them encouragement in their faith. And that's why verse 2, it says, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And in a way, the whole book of Ephesians is about this grace and peace that they knew, both from a doctrinal perspective, a theoretical perspective, but also from a practical perspective as well. And I've actually just got a very short video. It's just 1 minute long, and we're going to dim the lights, and hopefully it will work. We didn't practice it beforehand. That's my fault for not having it in time. But hopefully this is going to work. And I'm just going to show the first minute of a video from what's called the Bible Project, which is a Christian organization which kind of does lots of Christian teaching, and you can see their material on their YouTube channel. And one of the things that they do is for each book of the Bible, they write a visual introduction to help you understand it better. Now, this video on Ephesians is 8 minutes long. I'm only going to show the first minute of it, but hopefully it will give you a sense both of what the book of Ephesians is about, which is basically what I've just been telling you, but also it will whet your appetite to maybe go and see the rest of the video in your own time. So if we can play that, that would be great.
Paul's letter to the Ephesians. The story of how Paul came to the city of Ephesus is really interesting. You can go read about it in Acts chapter 19. Ephesus was a huge city. It was the epicenter of worship for most of the Greek and Roman gods. And for over 2 years, Paul had a really effective missionary presence there, and lots of people became followers of Jesus. Years later, after being imprisoned by the Romans, Paul wrote this letter. The movement of thought in the letter divides into two really clear halves. In the first half, Paul is exploring the story of the gospel, how all history came to its climax in Jesus and in his creation of this multi-ethnic community of his followers. The second half of the letter is linked to the first by the word therefore. And here Paul explores how the gospel story should affect how we live every part of our life story, personally, in our neighborhoods and communities and in our families. So let's dive in and we can see how...
Okay, brilliant. So if you want to dive in, you're going to have to go home, go on the Bible Project on YouTube, and they've got lots of videos. So hopefully that will be, at the beginning of this new year, I wanted to kind of, you know, whet your appetite, maybe give you something to kind of look out for the new year. Don't get too into it that you don't want to come to church, because let's be honest, that teaching is probably better than mine. There is still something powerful about being together. But nevertheless, it might aid and furnish your learning to see something visual in the week as well. But the second thing why I wanted to show this video is because, just as we can see with that visual on the screen right there, we see that the book of Ephesians is split very clearly, as is often with Paul's letters, into two different sections. The more kind of doctrinal, theological bit, and then the more practical bit in the second half. And in the second half, ends with this spiritual battle. And the reason I just want to make this point is this, is that when I talk about a spiritual fight, you might be thinking, oh, here we go, here's some doctrine, here's some Sunday morning highbrow thinking, this has got nothing to do with me in the rest of my life. But I want to suggest that in Paul's scheme of things, this spiritual fight which he is talking about is very much a practical matter, is very much something which... has practical realities to it. So I'm not just telling you these things about this kind of ethereal battle, spiritual battle, which is happening somewhere in the heavenlies. I'm saying that this has practical interest to us as we go into this new year. The key phrase which I want to mention from these first two verses, which again really just help us to understand this battle which is happening, is in Ephesus and in Christ. So Paul is addressing people who are in a physical town. It's called Ephesus. As I said, it was a real place. You can still see the ruins of the town today. It's a major town, the capital of Asia Minor. So they had a physical living place where they were living, but they also had a spiritual reality. They were Christians. And in Christ is a phrase which comes up about 15 times in the book of Ephesians. And basically, Paul is telling them, not only are you people who live in a specific place in a specific time, but you also have a spiritual reality to you. You are in Christ. And I want to suggest to you today that if you are a Christian here today, that you also have those two realities which are working within you. You are in a physical place. You are in a place called Kingston, most of you. Maybe some of you are visiting today and you've got a different hometown. But most of us are in Kingston. That is a part of our reality. And it goes deeper than that. You will also be in your family and in your sphere of work, in your social communities. So that's one side of you. But also, if you're a Christian today, you are in Christ. In the same way that those believers 2,000 years ago had that spiritual dimension and reality to them, so we as Christians have that spiritual reality just the same to us today. And I want to suggest that when those two things happen, what we get and what is required and what is necessary is the fight of faith. And we can see that very clearly. So good to start the new year with one of these. What am I gonna show? The Venn diagram, thanks. Yeah, she knows me well. In Ephesus, in Christ, we have the fight of faith in between. Now, if you're just in Ephesus, or if in today's society, you're just in Kingston and you're not a Christian, you don't have to worry about this fight of faith. It's what I'm saying to you today is gobbledygook. You don't have to think about these spheres, these realities. You can just focus on the sphere that you're in Kingston or wherever it is that you are. And I would suggest that you're not living your life to the full. I'm suggesting that you're missing out by not being in Christ, but that's another part. That's another point altogether. Equally, if you're in Christ and you're not in Ephesus or in Kingston, then also you don't have to worry about the fight. For Christians, you know what we call that place? Heaven. That's where you're in Christ and you're not in Kingston on the world anymore. And you don't have to worry about these things anymore. But right now, if we are in Kingston and we are in Christ, what we will find is that we also have the fight of faith to contend with. So, how can we fight successfully this fight of faith? How can we be successful in this reality that the Lord has called us to? Well, we're told, and this is now my final point, that we are to be strong in the Lord. We're to be strong and courageous. And this is actually a call of God to his people throughout the Bible. We see in the Old Testament a very famous example of God strengthening Joshua, who's one of the kind of first political and military leaders of Israel, or of the Israelites. So we see in Joshua chapter 1 verse 9, very famous verse, maybe you've heard this, maybe this is something you need to hear for going into this new year. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. When I was a student, I was going through a particular time of anxiety. When I was an undergraduate, I was feeling kind of very uncertain about things, about myself, about my faith. And I wrote this verse out, Joshua 1:9, I still got it somewhere. I don't know where it is now, but I do have it somewhere. I wrote this out in hand on a piece of paper, and I put it on my desk, and I looked at it. And actually now, in the last more recent years, I've got a kind of a nicer version of this verse, like a kind of a professionally made one, which is now on my desk. But I, even to this day, I cling on to this verse. And we see that constantly in the scripture, we have this reminder to be courageous. It's not just in the Old Testament, it's in the New Testament. Matthew 6:25, do not be anxious, Jesus says. Luke 12:32, fear not, little flock. And the reason that we have this constant reminder to not be afraid, to be courageous, to think of it positively, to be strong in the Lord, is because as human beings, we are so prone to fear and anxiety and worry. And you could say that's part of being a human. That's kind of part of our genetic makeup. But one thing that I know from the scriptures is that the Lord wants us to be strong and strong in him. And if we're to prepare for this fight properly, we need an injection of courage. And this call to courage isn't just kind of empty words. Courage really does make a difference. It makes a difference even today on the battlefield. I've got just a couple of examples from recent years. Maybe you're familiar with some of these, and I'm not kind of making, you know, political or judgmental comments about them. I'm just kind of making comments as a preacher. But if you remember 2021, where the NATO forces left Afghanistan, and in a very short period of time, in a period of months, Afghanistan fell back again to the Taliban, and the fall of Kabul happened extremely quickly. And one of the reasons that that happened, and analysts say it happened, is because there was essentially a lack of courage, and that the Afghani forces, despite them having had years of training and of having far superior military equipment, in the face of this upcoming, this tidal wave of Taliban support, they simply lay down their weapons and got out of there. And again, I'm not here to kind of pass judgment or say I would do anything different. I'm just saying that is what happened. Then, conversely, a year later, a very different war situation, when, of course, Russia, who was far bigger, had far better arms, had far better preparation, when they came to the Ukraine and they thought they were just going to basically do something very similar, just kind of go through Kiev, no problem, take over in no time, they found that they weren't able to do that. And one of the reasons, again, that analysts say that that didn't happen is because there was a commitment and a courage within the Ukrainian forces, which basically said, no, that is not going to happen. And of course, that's a war which is still sadly raging on. And I'm not trying to say that courage is everything, but I am trying to say that as Christians, we need courage to participate in this fight. And I've just got a little kind of way of thinking about that. Courage isn't everything in the fight of faith, but without it, you can do nothing. It's not that kind of like we go, yeah, let's be brave, yeah. Like that in and of itself will be everything. But I'm saying if we don't have courage as Christians, we won't be able to fight this fight of faith. And the reason that we can have courage, and we're going to look at this in more detail next week, is because we are to be strong, not in ourselves, not just kind of, yeah, willpower, but we're to be strong in the Lord. The reason for our courage, the reason for our strength, is not in ourselves, and Nate made this point really well in his talk last week at the pancake breakfast. It's not because of our own willpower or our strength of resolution, but ultimately because we are in the Lord. Again, think of that phrase, in Christ, or in the Lord, as it's phrased here in our verse. Our strength is because of who we belong to. It's because of the army that we belong to, and we belong to the King, and we belong to the Savior. And actually, a military term is used for the Lord Jesus Christ. In Hebrews chapter 2, it says he is the captain of our faith, the captain of our souls. And the reason why we have strength is because we have a leader who we can look up to and respond and follow. And again, like just to use a modern example, and I know it's not perfect because it's a human example, but when you think of the strength and the resolve of the Ukrainians, part of that reason for the courage is because of the strength of Zelensky. You know, people look at him and say, yeah, we want to get behind him. If he's courageous, I'm going to be courageous too. And again, that's just a human example. I'm not trying to make political points out of that. But I'm just saying the strength of the army will often follow the strength of its leader. And the reason we can have courage is because of the strength of our mighty captain, the strength of our leader, the strength of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we know that he is victorious, that he is successful because of what he has done for us and because he has paid the penalty. He has taken the bad things from us, the things that we should be afraid of, and he has taken those things upon himself and defeated them on the cross. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7 says this, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." It's not a physical battle in the sense of a crusade from the medieval period, or like, a war like we see in Eastern Europe right now. It's a battle of faith, and it's a battle not of sight, but of faith. A verse which I just want to mention, which has been a strength to me, and I hope it will be a strength to you, is Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10. "The joy of the Lord is my strength." Okay, so as we go into this new year, and this is my conclusion, how can we be strengthened in the Lord? Well, first thing that we can do is we can hold on to scriptures. Again, in the same way that I memorized and I held on to that promise from Joshua chapter 1, verse 9, you know, hold on to a promise of the Lord. Hold on to that through thick and thin. Maybe, and this is my challenge, this if you're feeling really brave, one of the challenges that I have set for myself as I am going through this sermon series is to memorize Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 20. So think of it this way. You've got 12 weeks, well, even longer, because as I said, there's going to be gaps in between. But you've got maybe, I don't know, 4 months to memorize these 10 verses. So maybe that's a challenge for you to beginning at the beginning of this new year. Maybe you haven't got a New Year's resolution yet. Maybe that can be your New Year's resolution, to memorize these verses, to be strengthened in the Lord in that way. Maybe for some of you, it can be an opportunity to read through the Bible. Again, it's the beginning of a year. It's a good opportunity to do that. If you've never done that before, or maybe you've done it, but you haven't done it for a while, just a couple of ways that I can kind of almost recommend for you. First of all is the Bible app, which Renjen was speaking about before the new year. The Bible app, and as Renjen said, we've got our own Bethel part to that. So please do consider downloading that if that's not something that you've done before. The particular thing that I follow, and which I've now followed for many years, is what's called the 5-day Bible reading program. I've printed out 10 of these. I'm kind of imagining that they're not going to be particularly kind of like hot off the press. In case all 10 of them do go, I will print out some more for you. But essentially, this is a Bible reading plan which goes through the whole Bible in a year. But it's set out so that you only do 5 readings a day. 5 readings a week. 5 readings a day, that would be funny. 5 readings a week. So maybe if you're up for a challenge and want to try that, then take that. It gives you a couple of days, because I personally find if I'm supposed to do it every day, then I sometimes get caught a little bit behind it. What else do we have? We also have the idea of being committed to this sermon series. So again, if you know you're going to be away for a week, then follow it online. You know, make it your goal, your ambition. Okay, I'm going to listen to this preparation for this war, because it is a real war and I want to take it seriously. Maybe that's a challenge as well. But then also now as we come to communion, and again, communion is just a great way to start the new year with. We're going to feed ourselves on the bread of life, the body of Christ in communion, remembering our great captain, remembering the work that he has done for us. One phrase that people used to use in Germany, I don't think I've heard it here, but people used to say in the church in Germany, people in the world, they drink to forget, but we drink to remember. And again, when we think of kind of New Year's, we think of all the partying which happens. When we come to communion, we come and drink to remember what the Lord, the captain of our souls, has done to courage, to strengthen ourselves in him. So I'm going to ask now the worship team to come up. Hopefully I've whet your appetite a little bit for the series which is to come. As I said, we are going to go into a little bit more depth over the coming weeks. I'm going to pray for us, and I'm going to ask the ushers to come also to the front. And they are going to hand out the communion sets. If you are new to Bethel or you're unfamiliar with it, we have our communion in our little capsules like this. It's just a little grape juice and then a little wafer on the top. And so what we're going to do in a few moments is hand them all out. If you are in Christ Jesus, you don't have to be in Bethel. You don't have to be a formal member. If you are in Christ Jesus, then you are welcome to take communion with us today. And yeah, we're going to take a few moments of silence. I'm going to pray. I'm going to hand out the elements, and then we're going to usher in this new year together as the family of faith in Christ and be strengthened in him. Okay, so let's just take a few moments of silence, and then I'll pray for us. Father, we pray at the beginning of this new year, as we take communion together, as we remember the captain of our souls together, Jesus Christ, we just remind ourselves that we're not only in Kingston or in our families or in our jobs, but above and beyond that, we are in Christ Jesus. Lord, thank you for the privilege of having a relationship with you. Thank you for the purpose which we have. Thank you for the mission that you've given us, a mission to bring light and salvation to a broken world and to broken lives. But Lord, we recognize that as we walk these kind of dual lives of being both human beings but also spiritual beings in Christ Jesus, that we will encounter and we will have this fight of faith ahead of us, Lord. Lord, I pray that you'll prepare us for this coming year, whatever our situation, wherever we will go, whatever we will do. We pray that we will go courageously, in strength, not in ourselves, but strong in you, Lord. And as we take communion together now, I pray, even just through the bread and the grape juice, these very kind of physical signs, that that can be an outward representation of the faith and the strengthening of our faith in you. Strengthen our faith together now as we take these elements in faith and remember who you are and what you are doing and what you will do over this coming year. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So the ushers now are going to hand out the elements. Thank you so much. And as they do that, I'm just going to read out some words from the Lord Jesus Christ, John chapter 6, verses 53 to 58. So Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. But whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food and my blood is true drink. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever feeds on me, he shall live because of me. And this is the bread which came down from heaven, not the bread the fathers ate and died. Whoever feeds on this bread will live forever." And in communion, we're celebrating that, we're representing that. It's not the literal body of Jesus Christ, but when we take it in faith, then we are strengthened in faith, and it becomes real through faith to us. So let's stand and sing. Let's go out with the assurance that we have in Christ Jesus and of his victory of the battle which is ahead.
Thank you so much for listening. If you're interested in supporting our ministries, we invite you to go to bethelkingston.com/giving. It would really mean a lot to us. If you want to listen to more sermons, visit our website. We hope you have a great week and will join us again soon. Thank you so much.